Has anyone asked you what you want for Christmas yet? It may have been a long time ago. I'm always one of those last-minute Christmas people. Someone asked me recently, and I had a hard time thinking of something. Bill and I, my husband and I, have a lot of trouble with gifts. I'm not sure what it is. But in my spiritual core, I do know what I want for Christmas. I want the peace of Christ for the world and for us now. In fact, I wish all of us would fervently desire the peace that Jesus brings for Christmas. Many of us deep in our hearts want peace in our lives and in the world. We often don't know how to get that peace, however, or we don't really know what the peace of Christ means. Back when I was a working parent with young kids, peace meant 2 hours home alone. A bunch of you can identify with that. Now, in my less mature or healthy moments, I want a peace that looks a lot like, let's just all get along, or agreement at any price. For many of us, personal peace may have more to do with just leave me alone or just do it my way and don't argue than anything more spiritual. Nationally and internationally, we live in a time in which peace seems to me that those with power try to impose their ideas and values on everyone else, whether or not their ideas are for the greater good. Our second Sunday in Advent is the Peace Sunday. Each of our scriptures points us to an aspect of God's vision of peace for the world. God's vision of peace is a lot different than my wish for 2 hours alone, or let's just all get along. God's peace means that we sinful humans turn around or turn away from our self-centered or disengaged self-protective lives to walk in God's path. The Gospel of Luke shines light on two stories that reflect on how Jesus had been sent by God to bring divine peace to humankind. Our first reading from Psalm that Ed read is, as I said, from the father of John the Baptist. You remember the story of John's conception? You know, it gets all mixed up there with Jesus' birth story. And Luke is the only one that tells this story. When John's father-to-be, John the Baptist's father-to-be, the temple priest, Zechariah, was told by an angel that his barren, postmenopausal wife, Elizabeth, was going to bear a child that would usher in a new reign of God. Well, you can imagine what Zechariah thought. No way, Jose. This is not happening. And that's basically what Zechariah said. And the angel who brought this message was not happy. So he struck Zechariah dumb. He could not speak and was told he could not speak until the baby was born. Whew, that was tough. It was only when Zechariah brought the newborn baby, John, to the temple to be circumcised and blessed when he was 8 days old, that Zechariah recovered his voice. Immediately, Zechariah sings his magnificent psalm that affirms the message that his son will bring. A Savior is coming who will call us to true repentance and forgiveness for our sins, and thus guide our feet in the way of peace. I urge you this week, read that again in Luke chapter 1. Our second reading from Luke takes us to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Only two of the Gospels you know have birth stories, Matthew and Luke. Mark and John begin with the beginning of Jesus' ministry, as all four Gospels do. When Jesus meets his cousin John on the bank of the Jordan River. John the Baptist was already calling for the repentance of sin, for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus walks up to the water and asks to be baptized. John the Baptist comes to us in Advent with an essential word that enables us to meet Christ as he comes to us. What's that word I said earlier? Repent, yes. Repentance, as I said, is a change of mind, a total turnaround in the direction of one's life, of one's relationship with God. When we take that U-turn and walk God's way and not our way, we are joining God's fondest wish and accepting God's gracious gift of peace. When we walk with God, the world is a different place. People are reconciled within themselves. We are reconciled to each other and to all of God's creation. And thus we live in a right relationship with God. We are then righteous. That's what righteousness means. As the prophet Malachi predicts, God is sending a messenger who will prepare us for the day of the Lord by refining us as one who works with precious metals, separates the impure elements from the pure gold or silver. John was sent by God to call us to prepare for Christ's coming by examining ourselves. We are called to let go of all that keeps us in conflict with our God-given nature. We are called to find peace with ourselves, with our neighbors, and with God. God's peace, which is in Hebrew the word shalom, encompasses wholeness, healing, harmony, justice, and righteousness for all. God's peace becomes the norm, not the exception. The most significant element in God's plan for transforming each life and the world for God's peace is that God forgives. John the Baptist was sent not to condemn, but to proclaim a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. When we make that U-turn from our self-centered lives toward the love that Christ brings, God's world is transformed. I think that this transformation happens by God's grace, both in dramatic turnarounds, we've known people who've done that, and in the slow, small movements we make as those justified by God's forgiving love in daily acts of caring and sharing. And there's no better story of how dramatic repentance turns a life around than that wonderful story, A Christmas Carol, by Dickens. The Reverend Dr. Gregory Jones, in his reflection on this movie, story, book, each year, in the weeks leading up to Christmas, a great number of people find delight in the marvelous story written by Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. There's something in that story that lures us back to it year after year. We never seem to grow tired of hearing its message. And the main character, of course, is this surly old man named Scrooge, who lives a miserly existence. He sees no benefit in being generous with the poor or even providing a living wage to his dedicated workers. He clutches onto his money and despises the thought of parting with any of it. But it is not only his money that Scrooge withholds from others, it is his entire being. He withholds love and kindness. He withholds warmth and friendship. And then one night, Scrooge undergoes a profound crisis. He sees himself through the eyes of others. He has a vivid vision of his past and then his present. But what is most frightful to him and what shakes him to the core of his being is when he is granted the opportunity of a lifetime. He is allowed to witness his future. But his future proves to be so dark and frightening that it prompts within him a dramatic change. He undergoes a radical transformation and becomes an entirely new person. Instead of being indifferent to people, he becomes generous and compassionate. In a minute, we're going to see a dramatic presentation of Scrooge's moment of repentance and transformation. with Bill Junkin's help, we will see a small portion of Scrooge's turnaround. In the musical version of A Christmas Carol, we first see Scrooge with the ghost of Christmas Future, in which Tiny Tim, his employer's son who is crippled and ill, has just died. And his father, Bob Cratchit, did not have enough money to help his son get well because Scrooge paid him so little. Then Scrooge sings his prayer, asking for forgiveness and vowing repentance, declaring that he himself is turning around from his selfish, greedy self to one who cares more about others. Then the ghost shows Scrooge his own barren, unmourned death, and very quickly Scrooge has been given a second chance. He is alive. The last two scenes show Scrooge's real transformation. He acts. He does. He follows through on his vow to care more for others than others. And his first step is to buy and take a huge Christmas turkey to Bob Cratchit's house. Here is Scrooge's story.
Tiny Tim dead. No. Give Jenkins to the boss called God. I have seen a future full of darkness, all the darkness of my heart. Am I born a world in need of kindness? From man's kindness I departed. All the hours and days and years I've wasted, all the joy and love I've never tasted, all the errors of my past replaced with something strange. Give me time to change. I see a future full of beauty, and my spirit starts to fly. I can change the world, yes, it's my duty. God forgive me, let me try. I'll spend my fortune on the ones who need me. Go where kindness and my conscience lead me. Give my heart and soul to all. God speed me on my way. And to God I pray. Christmas spirit live within me, yesterday, tomorrow, and today.
Thank you. one of the biggest men.
Delightful boy. It's a pleasure to speak with you. Yes, the one as big as you.
Is Hammond there still?
How much is it?
What?
How much?
A sovereign, sir.
Here are two sovereigns.
What?
Go and buy it for me and keep the change.
What?
Come on. And Merry Christmas.
What? Blimey!
The prize turkey! Well done, my lad. Come on, follow me.
Scrooge's story is indeed a hopeful story. It provides us with the hope that we too can make needed changes in our lives. We can break free from the ruts in which we have burrowed and the negative behaviors we have cultivated. We can be kind and compassionate, humble and hospitable, joyful and generous. Not all of us have experienced the dramatic repentance or turnaround as Scrooge, thank goodness. For many of us, finding our way to the peace promised in Christ is an everyday walk where we make little decisions to turn around, turn away from sin toward God's redemption. It's easy to be discouraged by the slow and often seemingly fruitless attempts to go where God wants us to go. But it is the walk of faithfulness that John the Baptist promises. Each step in God's direction is a form of repentance. When we come to the communion table this morning, we are assured that God's love is with us to support us as we continue to live as repentant and transformed people. This Advent season, let us resolve to take the peace of Christ to heart as we examine our lives, turn away from all in our lives that keeps us from walking in the path of Christ. We continue God's work as we prepare for Jesus' birth with our own transformation, one confession, and one joyful acknowledgement of God's forgiving love at a time. Let us pray. God, it's sometimes hard to hear the words of John the Baptist, but we are grateful that you have called us to repent and know that your forgiveness is there for the asking. Let us live now as free, generous, joyful, grateful people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.